The greatest tragedy is to receive a gift and not open and use it. The story is told of a woman that was getting married, and she had this amazingly rich uncle, which all of us desire to have. And so she sent out a wedding invitation, and hoping that if I invite this uncle, things are going to be set for me for life. And so at the end of the wedding day, she goes into the room and looks at all the gifts that are lying around, and she rummages through it, and she picks up this one gift with the uncle's name on it, and it was a little thin gift. She thought, oh man. So she ripped the paper out a bit to see what it was, and it was a Bible. And she got so angry with her uncle that she didn't even complete opening the gift. She just took it and flung it on top of the wardrobe. And she just went on with her normal duties thereafter with this hatred and anger towards her uncle, who was this multimillionaire, and he comes and gives me a Bible for my wedding? What is wrong with this uncle? And so she just goes on living, and 6 months later, the uncle comes to visit her and comes up to her and says, listen, how are you? How are you doing? And how's things going? And the gift that I gave you, do you still have it? And or are you using the gift? And she said, oh, yeah, very much. He said, can I have a look at it? So she remembers that she threw it up the wardrobe. So she goes up there quickly, and she rips the paper out, and she grabs the Bible and comes back to him and says, oh, here's the gift you gave me. And he opens the Bible, and in it was £1 million check that she never cashed. And he took out the check and he ripped it in front of her. And he said, you're not worthy of the check that was inside this book. Because if you opened this book, you would have found your life set thereafter. The tragedy of humankind is that at Christmas 2,000 years ago, a gift was given. And the majority of humanity will not dare open that gift. The majority of humanity will go through this Christmas period singing the Christmas carols, singing, O little town of Bethlehem, singing while shepherds watch their flocks by night, but will never dare bend down and pick the gift up and say, I want this gift. I want to use this gift. I want this gift to become a part of my life. Imagine this. You got up this morning, you walk down to your living room, you go to the Christmas tree, and there's a host of gifts under the tree, and you notice one with your name. And you look at it, but will never dare touch it. Wouldn't that be a real slap on the face of the person that gave it to you? It's not so much about whether you want to open the gift. It's about whether you respect the person that gave it to you enough to say, I appreciate this gift. And there's loads of people that I meet on a daily basis who will go through this entire Christmas period and never take the time to say, I need to know more about this gift. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 to 11 says, and when they, the wise men, heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come to the house, into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm not going to touch on these three gifts in detail. I know your turkey might get burnt if I go too long with it. So I'm going to just give you an idea of why is Christmas so important to us. Not specifically the event called Christmas, but why do we come to this moment of celebration and trying to understand what is going on during this time? So what is it about some gifts that make them special? There are some gifts you get, you say, oh, it's just a gift. But there are some gifts that you get that is really special, especially that handmade gift that your child brings to you. Mom, Dad, I made this card for you. Or that handmade stuff that somebody personally crocheted and took the time to knit and come and give it to you. And of course, it doesn't look the best, but it is from where it comes, from the heart. So what is it that makes gifts special to us? Well, some gifts are practical. Now, I love practical gifts. So if you're going to give me something that I can use. Like if you bought me a book, that would be a very practical gift for me, because now I'm going to read it and understand something and use it. If your friend is a plumber, it might be good to get him a plumbing equipment. If your friend is a musician, it would be good to get him something in that field, because it's a very practical gift. It's something that they can use. It's not something that they can put away and then look at it the next time you visit. Some gifts are prized. They have more value just because of the person that gave it to you. And it has the person that gave it to you and the effort and energy that they put into getting it for you makes it a prized gift that you would get. Some gifts are proper. Now, I'm going to tell the story just so that you get an understanding. So one of the things that Cheryl bought for me during this Christmas time was a Christmas jumper. Now, church, I want to be honest with you. If you ever saw me in this church, you will never see me dressed unwarm. All right? You understand? Terrible English. But I was always dressed warm. And I said to her, where do you want me to put this Christmas jumper? I said, well, what I'll do, I'll put my jacket on and put the Christmas jumper on top of it so I'll feel warm. Because Christmas jumpers, for some reason, let air in. And anything that lets air into my body, I can't wear it. You understand? So if I can put it over my warm coat, I'm okay with it. But the point that I'm making is something that is appropriate and something that you know is for me. It's got my name on it and I'm going to use it. Some gifts are personal. There are people that bring you something and the minute they hand it over to you, you know why they're giving you that particular gift. Some gifts are prophetic. Any one of you received a prophetic gift? I'll tell you about a prophetic gift we had. When I used to work for Scripture Union some years ago, we used to have this thing called Secret Santa, where you pick up names from a bowl and then you have to get gifts to the person. And one of the guys gave me an envelope. And I said, oh, how cheap are you? And so, but when I opened the envelope, it was used travel tickets. The people that have traveled and put it online or something, he just got it down, photocopied it, and gave me a whole lot of travel tickets and boarding passes. And I said, what's this for? And he says, well, probably you'll be traveling in the future. This is just to remind you that it's a prophetic gift for you. And since that gift, I've traveled to 21 countries in my life. But just at that time, you thought, oh, you're too cheap to get me a good enough gift. But it was a very prophetic gift for me. And then some gifts are preferential. This is what I would like over that. I will choose differently. So I'm telling you these things because there was a gift given 2,000 years ago called Jesus Christ the Lord. He was the Father's gift to us. And you know what was the purpose of that gift? It's to take us and reconnect us to the Father. That's how simple the gift is. And yet if we don't touch the gift and don't use the gift and don't open the package and say, yes, I want this gift, then that reconnection to the Father cannot happen. So whatever gift you've been getting for this Christmas, I want you to take a look at it again and see which category it falls under and how important does that gift comes to you on this Christmas day. But more especially, I want you to understand the greatest gift. The Bible says in John chapter 4 verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. Now this package, this gift, this Christmas gift called Jesus Christ comes with a whole lot of extra benefits in it. As much as you just get, you get salvation, that's a reconnection to the Father, but it comes with living waters. Hallelujah. So I'm going to get a little bit extra this Christmas. The second thing is that Romans 5:15 says, but this free gift is not like the offense. You see, one of the problems that I'm finding with a lot of people at the moment is that they are more quick to believe that they are sinners than to believe that they are righteous. I talk to loads and loads of Christians who have been serving the Lord for 20 years and 25 years. All they talk about is how sinful they are. Wait a minute. Who caused you to be sinful? Adam. Who caused you to be righteous? Jesus. So who's more powerful? Adam or Jesus? So why do we give Adam more credit over our lives than Jesus? So here's a gift that comes and a gift of righteousness that presents me righteous before the Father. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Imagine for a moment that I own a company, and I've decided to employ all of you in my company. And I said to you, the thing is, I pay annually, and at the end of this year, I'm going to line you up, get a firing squad, and then we're going to drill you down. That is going to be your wages. How many of you will work for me? You'll be really silly to work for me, isn't it? Because like I'm going to go and work and give all my sweat and blood for this company, and at the end of it, he's going to kill me. He's going to put me in front of firing squad. That's exactly what sin does. You work for sin, and sin gives you wages at the end of it, and that wages that he's going to give you is death. And the second part of the verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I hear a lot of people say, what must I do to get this? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's all. Oh, don't I have to work and do something? Well, if you have to work and do something to get it, it's not a gift. You understand? It's free. God is handing it over to you. All you have to do is reach out and receive it and said, I will take this gift and make it mine. And you may be seated here this morning. You've been hearing about this gift for a long time. You just weren't sure when you can make up your mind and say, I want this gift. Because it's free and it's going to give me eternal life. I'm going to find my place in God through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. No matter how many words I can use today, I can exhaust the English language dictionary, I will still not be able to fully describe this gift that God has given us so full and so free and for us to enjoy this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that you don't have to boast. You know this works, let me tell you this. Let's say you went for a walk down somewhere on a nice rainy day, and you got really muddy, you got splashed and whatever it is, and then you came home. And when you got inside your house, you took off your boots, left it at the door, you walked up to your bathroom, and then you stood outside your bathroom, and you said, as soon as I am clean, I'm going to get into my bathroom. That sounds really stupid, isn't it? Imagine coming to your bathroom and standing outside of it and saying, as soon as I am clean, I'll step into my bathroom. But if you step into your bathroom, you'll get clean, isn't it? That is what this verse is saying. He's saying you cannot do anything in yourself to get sorted out. You have to step into Christ and he'll sort you out and reconnect you to the Father. He is the one that sorts us out. We cannot sort ourselves out. There is nothing you can do that will make God love you more. There is nothing you can do that will make God love you less. That's the consistency of the love of God to each one of us when he sent his son Jesus Christ. And he said, here's a gift I'm giving to you. All you have to do is to open it and start using it. Amazing, isn't it? What a gift. What a free gift. And this is our favorite verse. Most Christians learned this verse. This was the first verse we've learned in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave, that he gifted us, that he said, yeah, I want you to have this. This Christmas, if you forget all the Christmas gifts under the tree, I want you to remember this one gift that I give to you. I want you to have it because I want you to be my child. I want you to come back to me. I want to have this relationship as a father will have with us, with his son. So this morning you may be seated here and you probably have been hearing about this gift for ages. You've been, every time Christmas rolls by, you're unsure whether it should be the season or the reason. So you love the season, and today, this morning, I'm telling you the reason. The reason is Jesus Christ. The reason is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to somebody on the high street, talking to a lady on the high street, and she said to me, she said, Rocky, I like this whole Christmas season. It's just this religious thing I don't like. So I said, that's very, very good. He's almost saying to the Conservative Party, I like your winning the elections, I just don't like the political bit in your party. Isn't it? That's what it sounds like. Because if you take God out of the season, if you take Jesus out of the season, there is no season. He is the reason for the season. He is the one that came. He is the one that died. He is the one that rose again. And he says to us this morning, here's a gift. This Christmas, make it your Christmas. And say, God, I want to open this gift. Will you help me? I'm not fully there yet. I don't fully understand it. But this morning, I want to take a step of faith. And I'm going to open this gift. And I want you to reveal yourself to me. So let me close this morning by asking each one of us in this room, if you would look at the screen, and let's say this prayer together. Right, let me take a seat and then we will do it together. Right, 1, 2, 3. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you as an unopened gift in my life. I know that I need you and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I ignore this gift that you offer to me. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. Will you bow your heads in prayer as we just commit ourselves to the Lord this morning? And you know what God has spoken to you this day. And if you'd like to talk to one of us after the morning service, please feel free to come and talk, and we can continue extending our hand of fellowship to you. If you are for the first time in a church, we thank you for joining us this morning. If you don't have a church, we would love to be the place, the family that you would join in the future. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you for your loving kindness is better than life. We thank you for the free gift of salvation that you give to us. We thank you that Christmas is the time to remind us that you give us gifts and you give us the greatest gift, your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to love us and show us the way back to the Father. And so we appreciate that gift this morning. And as we deliberately choose to open the gift and make that gift a part of our lives, I ask that you would lead us into the future to greater things. Father, we're looking into 2020. And we see you doing amazing things in this community. We see, Father, the power of your Holy Spirit manifested here. We see your free gift being rapidly given around and accepted by people in this community. So I just want to pray and ask that you would seal us with your precious blood and help us to look unto you at all times, who is the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.